from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State as we make our way through February, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Thanks to those guys, man, for coming on board with us again this year. Absolutely love our Lucky Buck, and you can find out about all the great properties of Lucky Buck and where and when you could use it, where and when you should use it on their website, lucky-buck.com. Also, Costa Sunglasses. Great. You know what? It's been nice because when we come in here, we've actually had a few days of sun, and you can definitely see what's out there with your Costas on the ice or on the water, wherever it may be. And as of late, it's been kind of both. We've had open water and we've had ice, and unfortunately, few people didn't realize that, you know, parking your truck next to each other after a few 40-degree days on Houghton Lake or on Lake St. Clair is a bad idea. Well, guess what? It is. I haven't had enough ice really to speak of, but we kind of knew this was coming way back when. I think it was maybe September that we spoke to our good friend Andy Provenzano, who is a meteorologist for WILX Channel 10 in Lansing. Right now, he's on the phone with us right now. Andy, this is a great big cup of I Told You So with this winter. Welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
Doing well. When we talked to you, whatever, 5-6 months ago about the weather forecast and about how things were going to shape up for this season, you really hit the nail on the head when you said this is not going to be a very snowy or even really cold winter with this El Nino effect that was coming through. And, man, truth be told, you were right on. So, you know, we got to give you full pay for this week.
it's somewhat of an easier forecast when you have such a large El Nino going on. But as you can see with this week and with any winter, when you don't have a lot of sunshine, you still can get a lot of cold air. It just comes in streaks, and we're involved now in another streak of probably the coldest weather we've seen this winter, where we might even hear in the Lansing area, might even have our first sub-zero night coming up over the weekend.
Yeah, it's you know, on recording day, it's very cold out there, but this actually, I don't mind this kind of cold when you have a little bit of sunshine, and we had a really, look, we haven't even had much of an ice season, for me personally, to speak of. I mean, I know a lot of guys and gals that are getting out there on the ice, but I'm a bit more skittish when it comes to getting out on lakes of that nature. And, you know, again, when we saw what happened in Lake St. Clair, losing 6 vehicles through the ice, or on Houghton Lake during the tip-up town time, it wasn't a good practice to park a bunch of vehicles next to each other.
No, not this year, because it comes and goes so fast. I've seen on some of the webcams that are on the west side, you know, like Grand Haven, you know, the ice will build up on the shoreline, and people are walking on it, and then 2 days later, it's not on the shoreline anymore because the wind changes, and then they'll be back walking on it. It's real deceiving. How ice forms is really important, and when it's forming in a lot of windy conditions, and it's not as solid as it would be if we had some still days and some sub-zero nights and those kind of things. So, you know, the problem is, and I learned this in college, actually, had a professor who took the whole class out on, we had a lagoon behind the science building, and he cut a hole in the ice, and this was the middle of, well, probably February, early February. He had us all get on our hands and knees, reach down and feel underneath that ice, underneath the hole. He was trying to prove a point that the ice melts from the bottom, not from the top, and it's a very honeycomb feeling underneath there. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, if there's some leaves or sticks and things in the ice, that will melt there too, because it's absorbing the heat of the sun. But you can be on that ice, and it might look the same when you were on it a week ago and everything was safe, and it'll look the same when you go on it 5 days later where we had temperatures above freezing, and it's not safe. So it's really hard to determine from above. It's below where everything is happening.
You know, and you bring up a really good point that, you know, a lot of us, self included, don't think about that ice melting from the bottom. And when you have conditions, you have sunlight, it's still warming up that water temp underneath, and that's really starting to, you know, some erosion to that ice as well.
Yeah, and I think on tip-up time weekend, there was even a little bit of standing water sitting on some of the ice, and that is going to warm up too. So, yeah, it compromises the ice, not only with its thickness, but how solid it is. It becomes more of a squishy ice, and that's how you get big cracks, and we saw what happened. It happened, I saw some big pictures of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, which is in southern Wisconsin, a big lake, big boater lake, and 5-6 cars all parked in a row. Their front ends under the water. So it's no different anywhere in the Great Lakes. It's all about the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking with Andy Provenzano, meteorologist and a longtime friend of ours here on Wild Michigan. Andy, ice conditions, it's funny, as a meteorologist, all of the factors of all things involved that you have to know. I mean, it's more than just giving a forecast. I mean, you're studying a lot of models and there's tons of science that goes into this. And again, when you bring up that point of the ice, that really is something for us to think about. And even though we had this melt and we have a quick snap of cold, how long do you think is it going to take to really bring back those ice conditions to a decent amount? Because it's, to me, again, still kind of weird. I almost don't even want to go out, even though it's nice and cold out right now.
Yeah, if I'm in the UP, I'm thinking this weekend you're probably fairly safe because they've been below freezing quite a bit this week. Northern lower, remember, last weekend was fairly mild, and they were too. So while we expect temperatures only in the teens over the weekend and some sub-zero nights, I think I'd still be very careful on the lakes, let's say north of Clare. When you get south, I wouldn't trust those at all. The ice is not going to build up that fast. We see readings back above freezing again going into early into the middle part of next week, so it might be very tricky if you're south of Clare. North of Clare, make sure you test them, make sure you look them over, and I think if you're in the UP, you're probably pretty good. But you bring up a good point. When I'm doing my forecasting, I really need to know a lot of what's going on here on the Earth before I can determine what's going to happen above our heads. I mean, lake temperatures, how much moisture is in the soil temperatures, all those things factor into how our weather is going to be adjusted as it comes this way. And I check the lake temperatures all the time. In fact, I can tell you that the readings in Lake Superior are running around 31, 32 degrees, kind of a super cooled water, not much ice up there, and 35, 36 still in Lake Michigan. So that's why we're picking up so much moisture with these cold blasts. There's no ice cover. But I'd be very careful in the lake, certainly south of Clare. Watch them north of Clare. In the UP, you're probably pretty good because they have been very cold. Their highs have been single digits the last few days.
All right. Andy Provenzano is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Keep in mind, you can find all of this, the podcast and everything else, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter as well, all with using Wild Michigan. So we're easy to find. Andy Provenzano is our guest. What about the insulation that even the lightest of snow, maybe an inch or two of snow can bring to the ice and really kind of keep that, keep it from freezing?
It can help, and in fact, the reflection of the long-wave radiation that's coming in from the sun is the key factor when you have the snow. It's helping to reflect some of that back away. But again, on the edges, you'll see some weaknesses. That might be a key point near the shoreline where it might be some even a couple inches of open water between the sand or the edge of the lake and the ice. That's another good indicator. But the snow cover does help a little bit. But again, however that ice formed before the snow got on it is critical. If it was a nice solid ice or if it just froze up as it was wavy action, you get a little different type of ice underneath you. So you always really need to check it regardless of the snow cover.
All right. And make sure you got your ice aggressor spud from our friends at Tricky Ricky Fishing Lures, the ice aggressor and Coda Pro, man. They're good guys and put some good products out. We're going to speak more with Andy Provenzano here in just a little bit. So Andy, if you don't mind hanging on, I want to kind of get a forecast for the spring because I don't know where I should apply for my turkey permit yet, and I want to see if the snow is going to hold off come April. So hang on. Going to speak more with Andy Provenzano. Got Whitetails Unlimited Michigan Deer Camp coming February 27th. And that's going to be at the Radisson. Our good friend T-Bone, Travis Turner from Michael Waddell's Bone Collector will be there as well. So make sure you join us. All that info is at wildmichiganradio.com.
can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. All over the Great Lakes State, you can join us. We're going to be at the Pheasants Forever Chapter 467 Banquet coming up on March 11th, I do believe. All that info is at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. The biggest banquet for Pheasants chapters in the Midwest and darn near the country, man. Over 100 guns, 200 guns going to be given away that night, and we want you to be a part of it. Go to wildmichiganradio.com for all of that information. A link to the pf467.org website is at wildmichiganradio.com. Back with our good friend and meteorologist, Andy Provenzano. Andy, we got some really, really great tips from you about ice and about how that changes and where it changes from. But off air, you give me a really interesting statistic, and that was about how many warm days we've had this winter versus like cold days or of even single digits.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, it really doesn't matter where you look. I mean, you could look at the numbers at Traverse City, Alpena, Houghton Lake, here in Lansing. When you go back to the official start of winter, the 21st of December, and you look at all the high temperatures, we're up close to 50 where the readings have been 40 degrees or warmer.
Wow.
And only 3 days where the high temperature was in the teens. The coldest low was 5 degrees. So other than what's going to happen here this weekend, we have yet to go below zero. And that's a kind of unheard of for a winter, but a very typical pattern. El Nino puts that kind of warm weather coming your way all the time. And we haven't really been short of precipitation. Might have been short of snow, but we've had some rainy events, too. So when you look at the totals of precipitation, that's on target. The snowfall is running about 14, 15 inches below normal here. Now, Traverse City picked up quite a bit, the lake effect, the last couple of days, so they're making up their numbers. But a lot of places are running deficits in the snowfall.
Andy Provenzano is our guest here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Andy, I want to set my sights on spring, and sometimes when I get, and it doesn't really matter to the birds, but it matters to me when it comes to mid, late April, about the first part of turkey season. How are we going to be setting up weather-wise? I mean, are we going to get dumped on? Again, or can you even make that call this far out?
Well, I can tell you what's happening with El Nino, which is the warming of the Pacific waters, which is what kicked us off into a pretty warm fall and has been for the winter. And that warm water is doing exactly what we talked about back in the fall, is it starts to make it shift westward. So it's getting closer to Indonesia and Philippines, those areas. It's still warm there, but that alters the jet stream. And now this week, the West Coast has been really warm. I think we were golfing in Seattle the other day. So the cold air is coming out of Canada once again, and we're going to see that fluctuation. We'll warm it back up next week, might even touch 40 before the week is done, and then there's another shot of cold air coming. That's probably going to happen quite a bit going in at least the first half of March. But with a typical El Nino, you do see a rapid return to spring. I know there's some forecasts out there that they're calling for a warm to hot spring. I wouldn't count on that. But I don't think that winter will last longer for the simple reason that we finally changed the pattern. So there's cold air in Canada, but we're at the stretch now where we add the fastest amount of sunlight in such a short period of time. And that means now we've got the sun to counter that cold. So how much cold will be left by mid-March? I don't think a lot of it. So I don't anticipate... You know, you always can get a snow at night in April when the temperature gets down to 32, but I don't anticipate much of a winter-type pattern hanging around in the month of April. But we're going to see it come and go here probably right through mid-March. So we warm up, and then before the month is done, we get cold again, and we'll warm up again early March, and it's going to be back and forth for a while.
Now, last year, speaking with Andy Provenzano here on Wild Michigan, last year we had what was considered ideal temperatures and conditions for antler growth. We had a fairly decent spring, a decent amount of moisture throughout the course of the year, and we had some good hot days that really help bring up the blood pressure in deer to help force that antler growth, and lots of good food sources. We didn't have the dry temperatures and conditions that really kind of forced what happens with the EHD virus, with the water drying up and everything else. And, you know, we had a bit of a bounce back, but I didn't see anything, which is, I think, just an overall shift in what happened weather-wise. But, you know, EHD being a concern for hunters again this year, are we going to can we expect possibly a drier or a more moist than average summer, or is this going to be kind of normal?
I think when it comes to the rainfall and precipitation over the summer, it's probably going to be semi-normal. The one key thing that we're taking away from what we had last year going into summer is I don't anticipate the lake being as cold as it was going into summer. I don't know if you were on the lakeshore, even in late June or 4th of July weekend, the water was very chilly, so the air was chilly. It took a while for that to change, where we have no ice on the lakes other than a little border here and there. Don't anticipate much more to grow, and it's going to come and go. So we should be able to warm Lake Michigan up, Lake Superior, Lake Huron, a lot faster this year, and that will mean you know, temperatures inland can warm a lot faster. So we'll get into our summer quicker, and I think with the pattern of the precipitation, it will all depend on how the jet stream sets up for the summer. But right now, it looks to be near normal. There's no signs of it being way above normal precipitation. Again, the remnants of El Nino will keep the storm track away from us a little bit. So the one thing that I can talk about summer is I do believe, without the lake being cold and warming up faster, we should see that translate into warmer temperatures quicker for our summer.
You're listening to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Andy, we had about 98% ice coverage on the Great Lakes last year. Kind of kept the water in check. This year, we had none, like you said. How is that going to affect the water levels this year?
You know, whenever you have so much open water, you get quite a bit of evaporation during the winter months when the cold air is around. Like right now, if you've looked at any satellite picture over the last 5 days, they're just pulling a lot of moisture out of lakes, whether it's lake effect snows or even the clouds themselves. So we're probably coming down a little more rapidly now, but most of the winter, it was a slow drop. And I think the Army Corps of Engineers was even saying, that there's going to be a little bit of a decline, but not a lot, because we were getting precipitation. We were still adding some rainfall to it. Temperatures were not bitterly cold, but it's this kind of pattern we're going into this whole week that really can lose inches of moisture off the Great Lakes in a 2-4 week period. You can see that come down rapidly. So we'll probably be below the normal, the levels we were just 1 year ago. And do I think the lakes are coming way down? No, that's not the point. But I think it'll come off of that high that we were for the last year and a half. We should see, I would say in general, a 6-8 inch drop from a year ago.
Okay, but not horrible, not something so significant that it's going to freak us right out.
No, not like we were. What, I think we were at the lowest level 3.5-4 years ago, and then within a couple of years later, we were at the highest level. It takes a little while for that to happen, but there'll be a significant drop, and I think probably some harbors probably are going to be glad. some of the piers were probably looking at having to be raised, but they should come down a little bit.
Well, good, because I remember getting on the boat in Saginaw Bay, and the water was pretty high there over the summer, but I'm glad to see that we'll get to about a more normal level. But man, as always, I appreciate your information and your time and sharing it with our listeners here. It's always good to get a handle on the things weather-wise, and when we get to ask you the questions, you know, instead of just watching you on the TV for 10 minutes a night.
It's fun to talk about how weather impacts us and all the things we do, because that's ultimately my job. Now we get it right, but to let everybody know how that's going to affect your daily life, including your hunting and fishing, and it's always fun to talk about it.
All right, Andy Provenzano, appreciate you joining us here. This is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Georgia Clay and Alpine Peaks at the bottom of a real tall cold drink, chilling to some Skinner or some Mohang.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Also, keep in mind, Whitetails Unlimited. The big banquet, the Michigan Deer Camp, happening in Lansing on the 27th of this month. Okay, it's going to be a big time. Our good friend T-Bone from Michael Wandell's Bone Collector will be there with us and hanging out, and we'll have our own table there. Looking forward to seeing you all there. Brian Brosdahl is our guest right now. Brian, it's been a miserable year for ice fishing in southern Michigan where I'm at, and we talked to a meteorologist buddy of mine today that says even with this cold weather, still you got to be careful out there. And Minnesota's been a bit different. You guys have had pretty good ice this year.
Well, it started late. We were at par with each other, and then Minnesota got cold, and it looked like we were going to not have much of a season. But only half the state has really good ice. The southern half of Minnesota had thin developing ice, and they got a dumping of snow, so it's got a mess. And the northern half where I live is where it's all at, and let me tell you something, it's a zoo. it's a league of nations up there. Everybody's up there, and it doesn't matter where you go. You can fly over. There's people everywhere from on these little lakes back in the woods, big waters. But the fishing has been excellent, and you know, ice fishing as a destination. I just want to say that even if you don't have the best ice, you're not far to drive to it. Going towards the UP, there's ice, and maybe even in the northern part of Michigan is a better perspective. And looking at shallow lakes freeze faster. And but it's what it is. We love fishing. We like setting the hook, and you gotta go for what you can. And if it's a boat, choose the boat. I mean, just get out and fish. It drives the economy, and it's good for the fishing industry.
Our good friend Brian Brosdahl is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Bro, let's talk a little bit about a walleye through the ice. Because, you know, we're definitely talking some northern portions of Michigan from about middle of the Mitten-ish north. And, you know, when I like thinking of those places, I mean, yeah, I love my panfish and whatnot, but I want some freezer meat. I want something that I can take off the ice and then go fillet it out and put it in the fryer. I want walleye, the Cadillac of the eating fish. And tell me, how am I going after them? Because here we are mid to late season in the winter. But, you know, what's the feeding like? I mean, are they getting ready for the big spring run, or what's happening with the walleye?
It's close. I'm sure they're in limbo. And I fished some of the northern lakes in the northeast of Michigan. I have a good buddy, David Rose, over in the northwest top of Michigan. But in the northeast, they found a lot of deep, clear lakes where the walleyes are suspended. And they won't be near the bottom, actually. They're swimming around 20 feet below the surface in 60 feet of water. And there's some really nice ones out there. They're not always out there. Some lakes are different than others. It depends on the bait fish. If there's smelt or if there's cisco, they're going to be cruising the surface or cruising up high looking for them. And, but there's some real cool lakes there that I found that are really good for fishing. And this time of year, you got to think outside of the box. If there's no weed lines, and we did have a late freeze up there, so there still might be some vegetation. But I always like fishing walleyes in the weeds. They're the most active. They're prowling. They're hunting, and they hit hard. And so if you find any surviving vegetation, if the weed beds are 100 acres, it's only going to be about 5 this time of year. You just got to find the right mix of weeds. And sometimes it's just finding cara, which is a skeletal fragment of grass that almost every fish spawns in. Cara is like looks like grapeseed vine, and it grows on sand, and important for perch and eel pout or lawyers, whatever you want to call them. They spawn in it. Probably in about another 3 weeks, you'll have eel pout going up there, but the walleyes are right in there feeding. And then they're going to be staging at the creek and river mouths, as well as gravelly shorelines with stratified carb vegetation scattered around it. So getting on the edge of where they're going to come in is very important. But right now, just make sure you got a lot of gas for your auger and just start drilling. But don't overlook the deep, open terrain. Setting tip-ups 20 feet down over 60 feet of water is kind of unheard of, but it's what we practice a lot. When you can't find the walleyes, you know they're somewhere, and sometimes they use the water column based on bait fish.
Brian Brosdahl is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Bro, what about jigging vertically? You're probably using something a little bit heavier, a little bit bigger, like the buckshot spoon, or something new I saw was a fluttering buckshot spoon, I think, from Northland.
Oh, yeah, the buckshot flutter spoon is just unbelievable. It's been in every report, and not just because it's lure and it's a marketing thing. It's amazing. It's a zinc-based lure, so it falls different than lead or any other kind of metal, and it has multiple split rings. So when a fish does hit it, the treble hook goes farther in their mouth. But the buckshot flutter spoon, if you just hop it, it kicks forward like little karate kicks, and it just makes the fish hit. But my favorite, if you could find it, electric perch works everywhere. Works everywhere. That's the hottest one. Catch everything on it, even lake trout. It doesn't matter what you're fishing for. Just makes them mad. The way the action, it flutters. It has a similar shape to some of the stuff you see out there, but it's completely different because it immediately, with a wide base at the bottom, it kicks out to the side, and then it tumbles like crazy. But it's got a totally different action, a glass rattle bead. But, you know, don't just use electric perch. I mean, the other night, pink and glow pink was really hot. There's all different colors, metallics, silver, gold. But give them a try. If you're not catching the perch or walleye, throw it on a buckshot flutter spoon, and you'll see the difference. And I love it. But another lure that's been really hot this year has been the Hexifly. I get reports on Facebook and on the internet all the time how bites are going from you know, where I'm at to New York, and a lot of Michigan reports. And the Hexifly is probably one of the hottest lures. It shows up in your depth finder nice if you're fishing deep water, because it has a flat base, but it also kind of darts forward, just like your puppet minnows, your jig and rapalas have that forward darting movement. The Hexifly darts forward and just works great for everything.
Yeah, I've noticed that about that. Speaking with Brian Brosnall here on Wild Michigan, I've noticed that about the Hexifly, that it's got that kind of a ridged edges to it, that when it drops, it's not dropping flat straight down like a round jig head will. It kind of pushes against the water, giving it kind of that forward motion.
Oh, and that's great. And, you know, this would... this is kind of the dog days of winter, the middle of winter, and I know there's no ice yet, but it's the same, you know, in different parts of Minnesota, just has sketchy ice. But this is when it kind of, you know, the fall bite is kind of past, but we're really close to the spring run everywhere, and the fish, they might not never stop. I mean, there's some lakes that haven't slowed down yet, and it's been a unique thing. I think we're going to see an earlier run, depending on the winter. It really dropped in the freezer here on this side, but you know, they're gonna start staging. Everything's gonna stage, and the perch start schooling up this time of year. That's the cool thing. If you want jumbo perch, also they start schooling up. Jumbo perch are the midwinter fun fish.
All right, Brian Brosnall is our guest here. Check him out. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find him on the Meet the Experts portion of our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Lots of things going on, of course, bro. Just at the Ultimate Fishing Show in Detroit. And again, we're going to be at the Outdoor Rama Show coming up. If you want to win tickets to that, follow us on Facebook. We've been giving some tickets away for Outdoor Rama. That is coming up this month as well. And, of course, the Ultimate Sports Show making its way to Grand Rapids. All of that information is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wildmichigan. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, and you can find Bro on all of those as well. Links on our website at wildmichiganradio.com.
Can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Going to be all over the place, man. We've been on the road, I think, since the beginning of January, and it's not stopping. Going to be heading off to the Bassmaster Classic coming up the first weekend in March, so March 2nd through the 6th. I'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, covering the Bassmaster Classic. And again, thanks to our friends at Dick's Sporting Goods for putting that together, because I love working that show, although I don't really get a chance to see much of it. I love meeting all the people, and this time it'll be in Tulsa, and looking forward to seeing our good friend Chad Pipkins hopefully place really well, and a couple other Michigan guys, Kevin and Jonathan Van Dam, at the Bassmaster Classic as well. But right now we're speaking with our other good friend, Brian Brosdahl. Bro has been with us probably almost, if not longer, than anybody else on this show since we started. We are now going into our 10th year, and we've been talking ice fishing and then fishing throughout the course of the year. But right now it is ice fishing season. And again, there's some unsafe ice on some of the lakes, so don't go out there driving around on some of it. And definitely don't go parking next to each other should you decide that, you know, a $50,000 auger is okay. But bro, let's talk a little bit about perch, because I don't think they normally don't really turn on until the latter part of the season, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You can catch them early on, but they just seem to be in little pods, and you'll hit a few here and there, usually in deep pockets. But as February, March roll around, is perch madness. That's when the perch starts schooling up, and you can get some monster schools of perch. And they start moving up a little shallower. You'll still find them sometimes in the 20s. Some lakes, they stay in the deep all winter. It all depends on the forage. If there's more of an insect mass in the mud down deep, then they will be there. But they like to be where the old weed beds were, and that's where they have to stick their eggs when they spawn. So look to the outer edges of the weed beds in the upcoming weeks here, and there should be big schools of perch using flashy spoons, a gold flutter spoon, buckshot flutter spoon, followed up with a quick dropper on a mud bug. You know, it's simple. They hit hard. The biggest perch are the most active perch, so usually you can catch big ones right away. If it starts turning into a lot of small fish, keep moving. If you're targeting a little bigger sized perch, you can do well that way. If you're looking for trophy perch, it's the same. Usually when they come in, they'll eat, and they're big, especially this time of year. You know, photogenics, the angle of the sun, everything, the snow starts to thin down on the lakes, and everything triggers them to start biting more. And it's a fun time of year, and perch are wonderful to eat, and they're also a lot of fun to chase, and a real big one puts up a good tussle on light line.
Absolutely, yeah. I love perch, and I love catching them, and you answered my question about how to weed them out, because sometimes you get these really big schools and there's a lot of small ones, but you say the bigger ones are the ones that are going to kind of push the small ones out of the way?
Oh yeah, the biggest perch are the most active, and you know, they will swim around. They kind of graze their way through the area. Well, when the little ones are there, you kind of, sometimes a big perch will come through in pods, and if you're on a giant body of water, you just have to wait for the bus to come in. Other times, you could drill your way through. You don't need to drill a zillion holes. Just do a zigzag pattern of holes, just a couple of them, and don't use a giant auger. When you're targeting perch, you know, a smaller hole, even a 4.5-inch hole is all you need. You know, I see people drilling moon craters, 10-inch holes, when they're looking for perch. And even when they're drilling and looking, you don't need a hole that could swallow your boot. A lot of times, you know, there is a chance you can get a big pike or bass stuck in the hole. But most of the time, you can get a good-sized fish. I pulled a 24.5-inch walleye up a 4.5-inch hole, and it was really, really tight, but I got him up. So it just gives you an idea what you can fit up these holes. There's a totally different math to the what fits up to those holes. But you don't have to use a 4.5-inch hole, but you can sure drill a lot more holes with a 6-inch bit. It lets less light down the hole. There's a lot more to it. There's less light going down the hole. If you do find the mother load, you don't have great big moon craters. You got small craters that you could kick down. And you know, it's all nice to give away spots, but you know, spots are getting harder to come by. So I always tell people, you're doing a good thing if you kick your holes flat and don't leave them big moon craters for everybody to find. And you know, just a smaller hole scare the fish less. It's the cutting of the blades that makes the noise. It's not the muffler of the auger, any of the noise above. It's the cutting of the hole. Any vibration that hits the ice is what they hear. So even a lighter drill cuts through faster with less force. And a lot of times you could just use a drill that you may have in your garage, a brushless drill with a Nilsmaster drill bit on the end of it. There's a lot of different drills in the market now. I like those. They're very inexpensive. For about $139, you can get a 4.5, 6, or an 8-inch drill that goes right on a Milwaukee drill or DeWalt, whatever you're a fan of. But it has to be brushless, and you get a couple batteries, and you could drill a lot of holes in a day's time with that.
You know, you really brought up an interesting point, because I'm seeing a lot of those the cordless drills with those attachments, with those drills on there, that are really making a big difference. And you don't need that monstrous 10-inch hole that, you know, so many of us have gotten used to making.
Oh, yeah, and you don't need any in-between. I just put the bit right on the drill. It never falls off. You know, there's little things you can put on your drill so you can drill with your drill laying on some kind of plate. Go ahead, but I've never had it fall off. The only thing that falls off is I give it to a buddy, and they don't seem to know what they're doing ever, never ask how to do things, and they're the only ones that have it fall off, but it never falls off. You tighten it on your cordless drill and go. You don't need to spend $50, $80, $100 on some plate with handles, and that's starting to go out of fashion anyway. Just get your drill and buy the bit, and you're all set. And it's surprisingly, it's light, and if you have less than a foot of ice, you could just drill forever on one lithium battery. Just keep them warm. Put them in your coat pocket. I've never had any problems. I get a lot of sub-zero temperatures, but you get two batteries with some of your drill. When you buy the drills at the store, you can get two batteries, lithium batteries, and buy the bits online. I think the bits are getting close to selling out. That's how popular they are. But I'll search even for walleyes with a smaller bit, and when I'm set up and I have guide trips, then I'll use a larger bit, a 7 or 8 inch bit. It's just easier for inexperienced people to pull fish up a hole, because they tend to, as soon as they see that fish at the bottom of the hole, they force it up, and they lose a lot of fish at the hole that way. But the real trick is, when the walleye's fighting at the bottom of the hole, is to pull just enough to keep pressure on the hook in its mouth, but not too hard, because that's where they pull away about 3 or 4 times at the bottom of the hole, and then guide the head up and get it in.
Brian Brosnall is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Bro, real quickly, you mentioned brushless drill. Could you explain, and what's the advantage of that?
Well, it doesn't overheat. You know, what happens with a regular drill that people own is you'll put these heads on it, and they overheat, and you could burn them out. The brushless drills don't overheat, and they're pretty commonplace. A Milwaukee brushless hammer drill with 2 lithium batteries is the one I got. You can look for them on sale at your hardware stores, Home Depots, and stuff like that. And some of them will just try to sell one battery with it. Don't get that one. Get the double battery kit. And it's just amazing how long they last. I've seen people on the ice with DeWalts. I'm not a brand person when it comes to a hand drill. Give me a DeWalt or a Milwaukee, I don't care. As long as it's brushless, hammer drill, and set it. There's different settings that you put it on. You want to put it on a drill mode and not a hammer drill, because it just drills differently. And let me tell you something, it's amazing, and they don't fall out. Don't go buying another plate that some places are selling in between your drill and your bit. You don't need that. Save money. Just get a Nils bit or even a K drill. It doesn't matter. A Nils bit works great. They're inexpensive, and they got great customer service.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is our guest. Real quickly, bro, you going to be on the road someplace? I mean, are you going to be doing a lot of guiding over there in Minnesota right now?
Well, right now it's getting into guide season, so I'll be guiding all the way through. I'll be in Madison, Wisconsin here in March, and then from then on it's all guiding. I'll be doing a tournament on the Detroit River, so I'm looking forward to that. The MWC, when it comes, you'll find me on the Detroit River. If you're out there, just come by and wave. I'd be glad to talk to you. But love fishing there. Got some spots they always seem to be at in the spring run. I am looking forward to it. Can't wait.
All right, man. Sounds good. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. And maybe we get you in studio here, sit you down for a couple minutes. Brian Brosnall.
We'll get you in a boat.
Yeah, that's always better. I'm I never dream big enough. Brian Brosnall, appreciate you joining
Thanks,
us, man.
Fred.
As always, check him out, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find him on Twitter at BroBull. Of course, all of our links on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Lucky Buck. Thanks to Costa Sunglasses. And especially thanks to you for 10 great years on the Michigan Talk Network.